time today, because what I want to talk to you about, I think is very important. Then we're going to close with communion together. But all I need is just a few minutes. And I want to just encourage you to open up your mind today, because sometimes we have this tendency and propensity to focus on things that maybe God never caused and called us to focus on. Sometimes our backgrounds have this ability to shape the way we think or how we believe. But we always, as Lenny articulated several times, we have to go to the Word of God, because in it is the roadmap. It's the authentic truth beyond anything else, beyond what you think, believe. You know, there's so many sayings that go around, you know, well, God helps those who help themselves. Not in the Bible. God doesn't help those who help themselves. He helps those who can't help themselves. We have to go to the Word of God. And I love to hear people's perspectives and how they think things ought to be. You know, we live in a society that's open. You're entitled to your opinion. I love to hear people communicate how they like one particular thing and they don't like another. One person will weep over a song. Another person will say, well, I didn't like that song. Another person will love a particular preacher to come in, and another person will say, I couldn't stand them. And it's perspective. It's how our mind is wired. And I say all of that to you because I want you to open your Bible up to Hebrews chapter 11. If you have read your Bible or if you have any kind of biblical background, and I'm not going to put any scriptures up on the screen. You're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way today. Look in your Bible. If you don't have your Bible, maybe you have it on your iPhone, your Android, your iPad, whatever, your Kindle. You can look at it, but you'll want to read this. And I know everybody, when you hear that knows the Word of God, you hear Hebrews chapter 11, you think it's the faith chapter. It's the great, some call it the hall of faith, where the great men and women have done great things, and they're all put together in this chapter. And when we read this chapter, we get a glimpse of what faith is. Chris communicated Hebrews 11:6. He who cometh to God must believe that He is, and it is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And did you know I could talk that fast? Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. All through the Old Testament, he's bringing up all these. Verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of a place, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And how many of you know it takes faith to do that? By faith, verse 11, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. And that wasn't flower seeds. That was a seed when she was in her 90s to have a baby. Come on, somebody say praise the Lord on that. I didn't get a lot of praise the Lord from you women now, right now. You're like, I don't know about that. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hidden 3 months. By faith, verse 24, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith. Verse 28, he kept the Passover. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Verse 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Whoa, wait a minute. In the great chapter of faith, the harlot? I got to talk to God about that. And that's not even what I'm going to speak about for just a couple moments this morning. But in verse 32, he goes on to say, he says, what more shall I say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon? We know Gideon. We've read that story. How with 300 mighty men, when God found him, he was treading out wheat in a wine press, and he hollers out to a mighty man of God. He wasn't mighty. He was afraid. He was fearful. But God spoke something over his life, as I'm going to you, to yours today. He said, would it fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel? We get David. He was a man after God's own heart. Samuel, not a word of his mouth would fall unless God brought it to pass in the prophets. We can put our hand a little bit around Samson. The Bible says that he had on his life, he had taken the vow of a Nazarite, and no razor should come to his head. And he messed up. He got with the wrong woman. How many of you know that'll do it? That's a message in itself, and I'm not going there. But these two that I want to talk about today, just for a minute, Barak and Jephthah. Barak, I've lost some of you already because you're so caught up in political process that anybody with that name, you're down on it. Open up your mind today and your heart. And if you want to know about Barak, we have to go to the favorite chapter in the Bible, in Judges chapter 4. I know it's all your favorite, but if we look at Barak, Barak is associated with a woman by the name of Deborah. And there was a great battle that was taking place, and where the Midianites were coming to the Israelites, and they had discovered the product of iron, not only to have iron now, but they made it into chariots, and not just a few, but 900, the Bible says, chariots of iron. And Deborah and Barak are involved in this. In verse 8, and it says, and Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me to fight the battle, I will not go. Barak is asking Deborah. Barak is asking this woman, if you'll go, I'll go. If you don't go, I won't go. Now, to the faith people, she's already out. When he can't do it on his own, he's got to offer, ask for help. And if you don't help me, I'm not going. He puts all his faith in the faith of a woman. But listen, verse 9, it says, so she said, I'll go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And the Bible says that it wasn't Barak that won the battle. It was Deborah that won the battle. Because Barak said, I won't go unless you go. And she says, okay, I'm going to go. But if I go, I want you to know something. You won't get credit for it. And here in the scripture, in Hebrews chapter 11, God puts the light not on the person that did the most work, but puts the light on the person that said, I don't care who gets the credit. All I want is God to win. And my brothers and sisters, a lot of times we get bogged down in life, whether it's in your home, in your job, in your business, in the church. If I don't get noticed for what I've done, if somebody doesn't pay special attention for me, if I'm not this or I'm not that, then I'm going to be upset. I'm going to take my toys and go home. And the end of the story is that real faith is demonstrated when we don't care who it is that's highlighted or gets the credit. As long as God wins and His kingdom is built up, we are satisfied in that. I'm going to tell you something. You can't do that in your own strength, because everything in you, our culture teaches us, you are to get it all. When I worked for Home Depot, they taught me what the word WIFM means. What's in it for me? And everything in life has got this connection that if I do it, something's got to come back to me. But when you're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He says, hey, it doesn't matter who's in the limelight, as long as at the end of the day, God wins. And that's what faith is. And in the second person here that I want to just talk about, Jephthah. Maybe some of you never. We've run over that scripture 1,000 times. We look at all these other great words and these great things. But we see these two men in here, Barak and Jephthah. And we wonder, who is this Jephthah dude? Well, let me tell you. If you want to know who he is, you got to go back again into Judges chapter 11. Now, this is a really incredible story, and I always get amazed at how people equate, again, by their views and by their background. They say, oh, the world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's over. This is bad. Let me tell you something. It was bad right here, because Jephthah is in the great chapter of faith, and you know what happened and where he came from? He was the product of a one-night stand with a man by the name of Gilead, who had a wife and children at home. And he goes out and meets a prostitute. She gets pregnant, and Jephthah comes on the scene. Now, you say, wow, this is in the Bible? It's amazing, isn't it? But God doesn't leave any stone unturned. And the Bible says that here is this young boy who is raised in this home with this mom who is not his natural mother, and a dad who had the one-night fling with the prostitute. Who, we don't know what happened to the prostitute. We don't know who she was. Some theologians say she may have been a worshiper in the evil temples that did that. Nobody really knows. They're just assuming that. But she's out of the picture. Gilead, the man who had the fling with the prostitute, brings the boy home. And he's living in the house with his wife and with those other sons. And every day, Gilead's wife has to look at this child and think about what happened, what her husband did when she was gone out working or doing whatever. And here's this boy, Jephthah, in the house. Until one day, the Bible says in verse 2, that Gilead's wife had several sons, and when these half-brothers grew up, they chased Jephthah off the land. And they said to him, "You'll not get any of our father's inheritance." They said, "You're not a son, because you're a son of a prostitute." You talk about a bad day. You talk about growing up on the bad street. That's what I look at this and I think, I had a good. Here's this young boy. Could you imagine growing up? Could you imagine at Christmas time and all the birthdays, all the other kids are getting these beautiful presents and everything? And this boy, he's left all that. He gets the leftovers because he's nothing. He's trash to the family. He's forsaken. He's forgotten. And nobody wants him around. You talk about tough. And Jephthah is in Hebrews chapter 11. What is up with that? Let me tell you, the power of God's redemption is incredible. The Bible says that they banished him and that he connected up with a bunch of gangsters. If we read in verse 3, it says, Jephthah fled from his brothers. He lived in the land of Tob. That's worse than Mechanic Street, Lenny. Soon he had a band of worthless rebels following him. He turned into a gangster. Jephthah, do you know that God doesn't look at the first part of your life when he judges and he takes into account what you will be? He's not concerned where you came from. He's concerned of where you are going. Come on, you can give God praise on that. And here's the end of the story. Here's the rest of the story. Debbie, come up to the keyboard. Here's the rest of the story. The Israelites, they do evil in the sight of the Lord again. And now it's not the Midianites, it's the Ammonites that are coming and they're terrorizing. And guess who the people call to help them out of the mess? It's not the sons that were in the house. It's Jephthah. They call Jephthah to come and help us. You want to know what real faith is, my brothers and sisters? Real faith just isn't, "Well, I'm just going to call that forth. I want it." And God says, "If I got faith, I can have it." I believe there's certainly a reality to that. But I want to take you to another side of it. God put Jephthah in Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, not because of what he called forth in God. Put him in there because when they came and asked this one that they cast out, that they looked down upon, that they said was no good, "You're the son of a prostitute. You're the product of a one-night stand." But when they were in trouble, guess who they called? They called Jephthah. And they said, "Will you bring your band of gangsters? And will you defend Israel? Will you fight off these Ammonites?" And guess what? Jephthah then says, "I will, but I want some conditions. I'm going to be let back in." He said, we're going to put you in lead. We'll put you out front. We'll make you head. We'll make you the man." He says, "Okay, we're coming." Here's the story. Here's the end. Here's the end piece of that. Real faith is not just when you forgive. Let me tell you something. This is the picture of just tragedy beyond. But real faith is when you not only forgive, but you fight and stand up for the ones that hurt you. Amen. And this is the theme throughout the Bible. We could go back and look in Genesis where Joseph was cast out by his brothers. And it came the day. And they stood before the very one that they hurt and tried to destroy. And he could have had them killed in a moment. And they were hungry and didn't know anything. And there they are standing before the very one that they threw away. He said, "What you did, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good." Who am I talking to here today? 7 years ago this month, One of the most horrific acts of America happened. There was a man, he was a milk truck driver by the name of Charles Roberts in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, who had some issues in his life, but he was married, a beautiful wife and three beautiful children. And one day, he gets up in the morning, they go through the same ritual that they always do. He kisses his wife, kisses his kids, waves them goodbye, stands there as they're getting on the bus. Bye-bye, beautiful children. All I could get is this image in my mind. You know what he did after that? He loaded himself up with three guns, 600 rounds of ammunition, duct tape, and a myriad of other things, goes into a little Amish community, goes into a one-room Amish schoolhouse. He boards the nails, or he boards up the doors with nails, tells one of the teachers who was pregnant, you can go, and lets all the little boys go, and lines all these little 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old girls up against a chalkboard and begins to execute them one at a time. And then he kills 5 of them, wounds another 5 until he takes his own life. Tragedy. This guy is the epitome of Satan himself in the world's view. I mean, you talk about a heart. We don't hear much about this anymore. I mean, there's so many other things that are going on a regular basis that we don't even hear about the story anymore. But it's 7 years ago this month. Actually, it happened on October 6th. And here, this woman, this wife, and these three kids, they're left. And they're having this funeral service. Broken. I mean, I watched the video, the interview. And she didn't know what happened when the police came to her house. I mean, it was. Can you imagine that? I mean, not only the families that lost their kids, but this wife who hears that her husband, who kissed her and the children goodbye in the morning, is now this wicked villain who murders. And here she is in this funeral home, sitting in front of this cold casket with this cold-blooded murder, laying in that lifeless coffin with her three little kids, knowing that the world not only hates him, but because she's associated with him, they're not going to come out and say it, but they hate them too. And all of a sudden, the back door of that funeral home opens up. This is an incredible story. I wept. I remember this, but it's never highlighted. I'm highlighting it today. The back door of that funeral home opened up, and 75 of those Amish people from those families who lost their children walked into that funeral home and sat with that mom and those three little children alone, suffering, broken. What has happened? Our life has been torn apart. And here they came in, and the news had said all week, send money to this community. And money was coming in from all over. And as the Amish people came, they went up around this woman. They put their arm around her and they looked at her and they said, we don't want you to worry about you and your family. All the money that comes in, we're going to help you. We're going to take care of you. We're going to take care of those children. We're going to make sure that they're okay and that they don't end up going to college someday. That, oh my God, that's faith. When everything is broken around you. And you can't, that can't happen in your own strength. No, and what he's talking about, it just grieves me when I think about my home life. What my father did to us, no one should even know about. And I couldn't get out of that in my own strength. You can't just will yourself out of it. Chris can't will himself not to drink. You can't will yourself not to use drugs and alcohol and live just a life that destroys. You can't just will, oh, I'm going to be good. You can't be good in your own strength. You need the power of a Jesus that came and hung on the cross and shed his blood and said, I'll come now, I'll live in you. And the same power that raised Christ from the dead, if it lives inside of you, it'll quicken your body as well. You need this Jesus. Bring me a cleaner. You can't do it in your own strength. Faith? You talk about faith? That puts it all aside. I don't need to say, I don't need to. If I claim it, I'll have it. How about if you live it and fight for the people that hurt you the most? How about if you're a child here today, maybe you're 30 or 40, I don't know, but if your parents, you know what happens in homes? Fathers who abuse their children and the children grow up, and guess what happens? When they don't let Christ into their life, they begin to do the same thing to their kids. But somebody today needs to take a stand and break that off of their lives in Jesus' name. I don't care if you're 20 or 70. Jesus has come for every one of you. I'm talking about faith. Those who are going to help with communion, come down now. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. We're going to pass out the cup and the bread. I want you to wait. If you've not given your life to Christ, right where you're at with your heads bowed. I don't want anybody walking around. This is not a time to go get a drink or nothing. Kids, everybody, the power of God's Holy Spirit is in this house right now. Go ahead, begin to hand out the cup. You folks are allowed to move. No one else, please. Honor the Holy Spirit right now. I just felt this so much in my heart this morning that there's some people here, you're so broken from things in your past, and we put on such a good front. Oh, everything is all praise the Lord, everything's good. And at the end of it, you're broken, you're hurting, you got unforgiveness and hatred. And I mean, you got to have it all out of you. I don't know how. Jesus is the one, and He's come to you today. Give Him your heart. Give Him your life. When you receive the cup and the bread, hold it. We'll partake together. Ask the Lord, what is it inside of you today you need faith for? Are you struggling to be number one? Are you struggling to release someone who has hurt you, has done you wrong? This is the moment that God wants to set you free.
Here is my heart. Broken in two. Here is my heart. Give it to you. For you are restorer, and you are healer, and you are maker of all things new. Here is my heart. Broken in two. Here is my heart. Give it to you, make me anew. For you are restorer, and you are healer, and you are maker of all things new. You are redeemer and you are perfecter, and you are creator of all things new. You are restorer and you are healer and you are maker of all things new.
That he was betrayed, Jesus, the Bible says, he took bread, broke it, and he gave thanks. He said, "This is my body. It has been broken for each one of you. As often as you eat this, you remember what I have done for you." I want you, as you partake of the bread today, to remember that there's no obstacle, there's no past, there's no sin, there's no dysfunction that he's not able to help you with. Let's partake of the bread, the body of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood." The New Testament, it'll be poured out for all. On that day, he shed his blood. When it ran down his broken body, down that old wooden cross, and it touched the earth. It wasn't just there, but it covered the earth. Whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever will, let them come. And he said, "Remember me." Remember that he's provided a way where there seems to be no way. There's some that are here today. You're so tied up and bound up, you don't see a way out, but Jesus is your way. As we partake of this, I want you to just to say, "Jesus, have your way in my life today." Let's partake of the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise your name, God. Father, I thank you for your people today, for the family of God. I want some of the prayer folk to come down here. If you're here today, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you're here today, you've never given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did just during the service, I want you to come down. Tell Pastor Larry about it. I've got a Bible to give to you, DVD. I want to make sure we connect with you. If you're here today, you're struggling with a dysfunction, you're struggling with a challenge, an addiction, you just want somebody to come alongside of you and pray with you. That's what they're here for. Don't leave. A moment in agreement with, in prayer with somebody can completely change your destiny. Father, today I thank you for your word, for all the kindness that has been given here today. It's just been overwhelming. God, I praise you for heaven. I thank you for people right here. I thank you for healing. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done in so many that are here. We could go on. What more could we say of all the great things you have done? Now, God, I declare blessing and favor and goodness over your people all the days of their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I love you. If you need prayer.